Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. I want to talk about this because I felt like it was a good step in the direction of like learning to not care about the comments and stuff. Did you see the whole like Kanye Bianca Censori Grammy red carpet moment?
I did.
Where she came out of her fur coat and was wearing like this very sheer thing that just made her look like completely nude. And I made a couple TikToks about it. One, the first one I made was because I feel like I predicted this because we were talking in one of our recent episodes or on our Patreon, I forget where it was, about how people were tagging us because Kanye West posted that scene from Girls Next Door where Pamela comes out naked and gives Hef the cake. And we were like, why do you think he posted that? And I'm like, do you think it was like Bianca Censori inspo since he's always walking around half naked? And then next thing I know, like a few days after saying that, the Grammy thing. So I'm like, I think I was onto something.
I think you were too. And when you said that, I was like, no, no, I don't think that.
Yeah.
And then there it was.
There it was in real time.
But you know what I think is creepy about that whole thing is, and I don't know what the discussion was, but when they're standing there on the red carpet, she has that big coat on and then she turns and he's like saying something to her and it looks like it's very stern and under his breath, and she looks very hesitant to take the coat off, and then and he keeps like saying something to her, and then she does, and it just looked, that part looks scary. If a girl wants to go out there and like throw a coat off and be like, look, I'm nude, you know what, that's on her and everything, but this felt something weird about it. Like he was like, do it, you better do it now, you better do it. Like I felt like it was almost like that's the vibe I was getting from him, and that's what like freaked me out about it so much, is him, not so much her.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are really concerned about that and just concerned about their relationship in general, because you never hear from her and she always has a very stoic face. Which could be interpreted as she looks miserable.
Right.
And maybe she is, maybe she isn't, but it could very well be interpreted that way. And you often are seeing them walk around kind of putting on stunts and things like that. I made probably 3 total TikToks about the whole thing. And the second one I made, people were really pissed off about because I said, oh, my God, you know, and I had a picture of them behind me. I'm like, her look, like, I think it's amazing. I think, you know, she looks phenomenal. Like,
her body is incredible.
Ooh, body is tea. I wish I could do that. And then I made a joke like, but if I did that, something would go wrong. Like one nipple would be hard and one wouldn't. Or so like, I just know if I tried to do that, it was something stupid like that would happen. So all I was trying to say was A, make a joke about myself, and B, say that she looked fantastic.
Yeah.
But people were just going off in the comments and they were so mad. And there were like 3 contingents of the people that were mad. One were people who were concerned about her well-being, which I can certainly see why people come to that conclusion, and valid.
Yeah.
But we won't really know what's going on in that relationship until she tells us.
Right.
Like, I've done enough reality TV and done enough public appearances and seen how people interpret those things to know that we oftentimes have no fucking clue. Even if we see something that we think is so plain or plain as day and so obvious, we don't really know what's going on behind closed doors, and we have not heard a peep from her and how she feels about anything. So valid, but me saying she looks amazing, and, you know, I'm not trying to say I think their relationship is amazing and I don't know anything about it. But people were mad about that, and people were also mad because they're so offended by the nudity. Like, prudes abounding were coming out in my comment section.
Really?
And like, this is so inappropriate.
Oh.
And just so hating on the nudity. And then there was a smaller contingent that didn't get what I was saying at all. And they were dragging me for, because I was saying like, I wish I could do that, but if I did, I'd probably look like shit because something. But people were interpreting that as, oh, she looks amazing, but I could never, like, as if I've never been nude. So there were a ton of people in the comments like, well, you were the worst. Do you still have your chocolate vagina? You what? This coming from the girl who made her career off being naked. I'm like, you dumbasses don't get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So people were going off and I was feeling some type of way about it because, as you guys know, like, I'm oversensitive to stuff like that. My nervous system interprets comments as people being outside my door ready to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But I told myself I didn't say anything wrong. I don't need to clarify. I'm just going to leave it up. And I've left it up and I'm doing okay.
Good.
And I'm proud of myself.
Yeah. I mean, like, I totally understand people being concerned about her. I can even understand where people say it's inappropriate for her to do that in public like that, especially if there were kids there. I don't know if there were or not. But And on a red carpet, it's just not the spot for her to, like, get totally nude, like, right in front of Staples Center, you know, like, or, oh, sorry, Crypto Arena. Yeah. So I totally get that. But saying that she looks amazing, and she did, there's nothing wrong with that because she did look amazing.
Yeah. But anyway, the point of that story was I left the thing up and because I'm tired of caring so much about everybody's tiny little comment, and I think nobody should care about tiny little comments. And over and over, I'm getting these comments like, this is the wrong take. Sorry, Holly, this isn't the take. Wrong take. And I'm so sick of people thinking that there's only one right take about every situation and there's no nuance to anything, which is bullshit. Life is all nuance and all shades of gray. So, you know, here we are. Want to hear what else I want to rant about?
Yes, because I think I know and I'm ready for it.
Okay, so I was flying home yesterday and I was at the airport and I was scrolling and on my Instagram feed came a post. I don't know if it was from Playboy or Dolls Kill, but Playboy and Dolls Kill did a collab. They did like a capsule line. And the picture I saw, I was kind of taken aback by because it was a pair of jeans that said Playboy on the back, but it looked exactly like this pair of jeans I used to wear all the time and that have been photographed by paparazzi. And this photo has, like, made the rounds. So, like, I know people have seen it. It's these jeans that I got at a party where they were kind of, like, handing out the jeans as, like, some kind of party favor or something. And they would put your name on the jeans in, like, an arch and old English font. And I would wear these jeans and get photographed in them all the time. And I was like, that looks a little similar.
Yeah.
And I just knew what I was going to see before I even clicked on it. I'm like, I'm going to look at this capsule collection.
Yeah.
And it was just what I thought it was going to be. It was a very Y2K Girls Next Door era Playboy capsule collection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, out of all the clothes, maybe a third of it is stuff I wouldn't wear and would never have wore. A third of it is like stuff that's reproductions of Playboy licensed products that we wore a lot on the show back then specifically, which that's fine. Those are Playboy's designs, whatever. And then there were some other things that kind of bothered me a little bit because they had the jeans that I feel like were a copy of my jeans, but instead, you know.
And they weren't Playboy jeans. They were your jeans.
Yeah. And then I see these high-heeled bunny shoes that had like a bunny tail on the back of the heel. And on the heel ankle strap, it had a bow tie. And I think it was last summer we were reviewing the season finale of season two. And we were talking about these shoes you wore to Vegas that you made. And I know we talked about on the show. I remember specifically. And you had put the bunny tail on the back and the bow tie on the front.
Yes.
Now, theirs look different. Theirs are very novelty. It has like a stuffed rabbit head on the front. They're very fluffy and floofy. Yours are very much more like sleek and a little bit more understated. But I don't know. I feel like that's a little coincidental too because Playboy never made shoes like that before. But we were just talking on the podcast several months ago, enough time for them to make these, about how you literally made those yourself, like glued the things on. And then there was another outfit that looked exactly like an outfit that me, you, and Kendra wore to one of Hef's birthday parties, except the ruffle on the bottom, theirs is pink and ours was blue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the exact same outfit. And these were like generic lingerie outfits that I bought and like did the embellishing ourselves and we wore those. And then another one that grosses me out is they made the pink pajamas. They're not flannel, so they won't be as comfortable as the pink pajamas.
Yeah, they're not the same, but still.
But they're the same design, the same exact shade of pink. Mm-hmm. On the model, they have the pajamas really oversized. Yep. So I know exactly what they're trying to do. Yep. And you had mentioned before you had wanted to make those and sell them. And what you were going to do is find the original pattern, mm-hmm. find the flannel, because you were like, these were my favorite comfortable pajamas. And yeah. I want to like share those with people if we can get them made the right way. Now, the pink pajamas are not my favorite thing. They're not a good memory for me at all. But I'm like, well, if you love those pajamas because they're special for you and they're comfortable, by all means, let's do it, whatever. But the pink pajamas were something all the girls were expected to put on like during the orgy nights. And I have not heard one human being come forward and say they had a good time at the orgy nights.
Yeah.
Like everybody's grossed out by it. Some people are traumatized by it. Of all the girls that went in and out of there over the years, I have to believe there were some that were new and too fucked up to truly consent, depending on how many lewds they'd swallowed. So I feel like for anybody who wasn't a part of that to merchandise those pajamas is in really bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the shoot, they're not selling tube socks as part of this line, but of course the models are wearing tube socks.
Of course.
That was my thing that I didn't invent the tube sock, of course, but everybody knows that was like my thing.
Yeah.
That is very much a staple of like the girls next door look.
Totally.
And I'm just grossed out. It's just another thing where I think Playboy is hypocritical because they've always disowned us, even from before I wrote my book. But they'll cash in. If somebody wants to do like a Y2K, you know, girls next door era Playboy line, they'll do the most.
Yeah.
Including like ripping off stuff that we made.
I mean, it goes deep, you guys. Like there's even like these motorcycle looking boots, high heel boots that I know like Kendra wore before. There are, a jacket. There's the spinner wheel purse that I know I had. I think Kendra had it too. I don't know if you had one as well. There's like the black hoodie and sweatpants with like the pink embroidered Playboy 53. Like they did but they just changed. Mm-hmm. We always wore those. Like it's things that we wore all the Argyle sweaters. Like these were things that we made. I know they were Playboy line, but we made them popular. And these are things that we were wearing all the time. They didn't pick the stuff that we weren't wearing. There was all kinds of stuff in the catalog that we didn't wear that's not in there.
A ton of shit.
Everything is in there is stuff that we wore or we used or we did or we made popular.
Yeah, and put yourself in their place. Like if you were working at Playboy and somebody wanted to do a line that was very Y2K, very Girls Next Door era, how would you do it? Would you be like, okay, well, why don't you reproduce some of our stuff at the time that the girls wore? Or would you be like, why don't you take her jeans, erase her name, because we love erasing her from history, slap Playboy over it. Oh, and those shoes Bridget was just talking about making herself. Let's do our version of that. Mm-hmm. And oh, how about those pajamas they had to wear on orgy nights? Let's do those. Well, it's just it's so disgusting to me. And I feel like we're being trolled.
Yeah,
am I crazy?
I think somebody's listening to this podcast and they're like, okay, the shoes, the pajamas, we need to redo these.
Yeah, and especially
especially the pajamas.
But I think some stuff they did in that capsule was very much in bad taste. And there's no way that people who work at Playboy don't know about Secrets of Playboy or about what I say. They've done such a thorough job erasing us. Like, that's for a reason. So you know they know. And mm-hmm. I just think Playboy's so hypocritical because when Secrets of Playboy came out, they put out this statement that they probably felt like they had to make because of the political climate at the time where they said, you know, we have nothing to do with the Hefner family anymore and there's stuff in our past we're not proud of and these stories deserve to be told. But clearly they don't give a shit if they're like, let's make the pink pajamas.
Right. And you know what? The pink pajamas, like I totally get what you are saying about it being like from bad nightclub nights and the orgies and things like that and having like a bad connotation to them. But to me, that was like so – I have that memory of them too. But mm-hmm. then it was like so long after that that I was still there and I wore them just like as comfort in my room and like hanging out and stuff like that. And that's kind of like the vibe that I feel and I'm like a comfortable like, oh, I'm home and cozy kind of vibe.
Yeah, and I think it's just indicative of like our different experiences mm-hmm. and like how we experience things differently. And if you want to make them and like you're talking to the lady who made the original pattern and like have permission from her and like doing it the right way, that's one thing. But for somebody who was not part of that scenario to be like, I'm going to profit off these orgy pajamas that probably most of the girls fucking hated. It's like, you're gross.
But like I knew you didn't like love the pajamas, but I just thought, oh, because they're oversized and baggy and not flattering maybe, or because we all look the same and we're all wearing them or whatever is what I was thinking. But when you described it to me that way, like how it's like it it's like traumatic because of like what we had to wear them for yeah. originally and stuff like that. It makes me feel differently about them though. Like even it I feel like overshadows my good time with it and makes me second guess whether I even want to do them anymore. Like I almost feel teary eyed. Like I'm not mad
if you want to do them because I totally get the difference. But when Playboy is doing them, yeah. I feel like that's fucking different.
No, and I get that too. But there's just something about me that's kind of hearing you say that has sort of changed my feelings on them a little bit too. Like,
well, just so you know, I have like if you want to do them, I'm still totally supportive of you doing them.
Yeah.
But I also know it's been a pain in the ass to try and get them done the right way.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how we feel about it. We'll see if we get a sample ever.
Yeah.
I mean, they had no problem getting them knocked out.
Yeah.
Quick.
So let us know in the comments what you guys think. Like, I know there's probably some people listening that think I'm a delusional bitch who thinks everybody's copying me.
There
when they're
is
not.
No way this is delusional. I am sorry. There is no way this is delusional.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, just picture yourself like you're working at Playboy. You're going over the inspo board and all the designs you could possibly do. And here's the picture of me and Hef on a night out. And I have my head over my shoulder and it's the jeans. Even if the jeans were your favorite thing and you really fucking wanted to do the jeans, knowing me and my experience and how I won't shut the fuck up about it, wouldn't you be like, yeah, I love these jeans. Let's not do those, though. Let's just leave that.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. The way I look at it is it would be like if we were coming out with merch and we did something that was very Kendra specific. I don't know what that would be, but like let's dumb example, but let's pretend we were doing like different colorways of sweatshirts and I did like a pink and green for me and a hot pink and a baby pink for you. And oh, I know we need to do like a powder blue and yellow one. Like that would obviously be a nod to Kendra. I would never do that. That would feel wrong.
Yeah.
She's not a part of this. She doesn't want to be a part of this.
Or we do something girly and then also really sporty.
Yeah.
Like a classic glamour thing and then like a girly girl thing and then like a sporty thing.
Yeah, like I would feel so wrong about doing that, you know? And I just think whoever was in charge of this project is either trolling us or they have no empathy or are just fucking dumb.
All three of them.
Yeah.
It's all three of them. They're definitely trolling us and they definitely have zero empathy.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. They're just like, let's capitalize. Mm-hmm. And it just goes back to the theme of like them erasing us but still wanting to profit. And it just reminds me of like not getting paid for the first season of the show all over again.
And I just want to say too, not only did we get not paid for the first season, but like when we did get paid, it was in such low increments.
Oh, it started off tiny. Like it was a nice salary by the time we were at the
end.
Very, very end.
But like even in season three right now, the reason I just had a fit at the Ryan Seacrest show in the timeline of our podcast here in 2007 is because we were getting so little per episode. And then they're adding all these other episodes on and saying, and there was a 10-week, I found the schedule. We had a 10-week hiatus. That's not just like a well, now it's a continuation of series, but they didn't used to do that back then. That's a whole other season.
Yeah.
So even at this point in time, like we're not making that much per episode. So even though I say we're getting paid, we are. We have to admit that. But like it's not like what you would think.
And just as an addendum, like I know that fashion can't really be copywritten. That's why when we talk about the bunny costume, it's so rare that it was patented.
Yeah.
And I know people take inspo from everything. I take inspo from so many people. Yeah. I mean, just as an example, like, you know, I love like Sabrina Carpenter's look and she takes inspo from everything, like so many things from the 60s and it's so well done. Like, I know that's a thing, but when it's Playboy, when they're doing it and I feel like they're trolling, it's just a different, it's just in such poor taste. I just, if I were in their place, I would be very careful about not doing stuff that was about us individually. I'd stick to what Playboy Y2K was and not our personal things.
Right.
You don't need the tube socks in the shoot. You didn't need to do the bunny shoes. You could have done a different bunny shoe that didn't have like a puffball on the heel and a bow tie.
Yeah.
Didn't have to do the jeans.
Right.
I feel like this is trolling.
Yeah.
It's been a long first month of the year.
It has. It really has. But I'm doing good.
So we are going back to the episode Family Affairs. And last week we did kind of like a mid-series check-in where we talked about just where we were since right in the middle of the series. But there's one thing that was going on in your personal life at the time that nobody was aware of really, especially not viewers.
Yeah.
So
What was your big secret?
So I've talked about it a little bit before, but I was married before I came to the mansion. I was still technically married. Obviously, we're separated, and I've been at the mansion forever now. But and we remained friends, and like I liked that. And I'll, you know, to be totally honest, like I loved that. I kind of felt like I had something else to fall back on. So, yeah. Like it always made me feel like that because I knew that like he was very supportive of me being there, even to the point of like pushing it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I, so I knew I had my family. I knew I had that. And, but I was always very honest too about how like, I'm not coming back. Like there's no way I'm coming. Like after all of this, like I don't ever want to leave LA.
Yeah.
Like I'm definitely not coming back. So there was like an understanding, but then there was always like this like little glimmer I felt like of hope on his end. And for me, like a little thing of like security on my end that
yeah,
was
that makes
there
sense.
Still.
Yeah.
So nobody wanted to do anything about it.
Right.
And especially when you're still friendly with somebody, because it just feels like such a sad kind of, you know, and sad. Yeah. So like, neither one of us like really talked about it much or did anything about it or anything. And I mean, back in the early days, like when I had a plan B and I wanted to go home and like, I was like, I'm going to go home and start a Halloween store and things like that. I was going to do that with them because they had he had a business. He had a family business. That's why I say them. And I was like, okay, so I could start it there or whatever. And they ended up doing it, starting like putting Halloween stuff in their store and everything, which is why they're going to be at this Halloween convention. That I'm about to go to.
So whose day is it? Like him and his family?
Him and his sister, mostly. Which I always got along with her really well and everything. But then things started happening. So before this convention, so like over the years, like I said, we stayed friends and stuff. But then when Girls Next Door started getting popular and around this time, and I think I sort of mentioned it back when we were talking about Halloween stuff and everything, they started asking me to do like appearances for their store and things like that, and like bring the show when they came to Lodi and stuff. And these requests were making me very, very uncomfortable because to me, that was kind of crossing the line and it was sort of being unfaithful, if that even is the right word to use.
Like, no, I totally get what you're saying, because when I'm listening to you talk and trying to put myself in your position, I would feel like, well, I don't want to have to think I'm like using or double dipping. Is that how it felt, kind of?
Yeah, or like I'm still with this person but I'm putting, like, I don't know. Like, it just made me feel very uncomfortable. And I felt like if anybody found out, I would be caught and be in big trouble. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel right. And like, I can understand why they want me to do that. And I can understand why it's beneficial for their company. But at the same time, I felt like it was putting me in a really bad situation. Yeah. And I didn't want to do it. And I did bring the cameras to the store. And then I did do that Halloween party, but it was also with the Playboy costume on and things like that. So I felt like I was able to get away with it. But then they wanted me to like come to the house and host like a big pool party and barbecue and stuff like that. And I was like, no, like I can't, I can't be doing that. There's no way. And then there was sort of like this attitude that started developing and like not so friendly anymore and snarky comments and like ultimatums, and it started to get really uncomfortable and not friendly anymore and like dreading a phone call from him. And it was pretty clear like it needed to be done, should have been done a long time ago, but being not wanting to be the person to do it, you know? Oh, and even to the point where they wanted to buy a vacation property in Costa Rica, like land that they were going to build like a vacation house on. And they wanted me to like front the money for like part of the thing. And the person that they were dealing with was in LA and they needed me to like go give the money. And so, and I was like, oh, I am so not comfortable with this because I know this is a relationship that I'm not staying in. And I don't want to get tied up in like some weird international like I don't know what this is even. No, I'm not comfortable with it. And there were like high pressure talks from like the people that were trying to sell the property, so I'm just like, I am not okay with all of this. Like, I just felt very, very, very uncomfortable with all of it. And so finally he says, okay, you know, I did paperwork, and he's like, I'm going to use LegalZoom. And I love LegalZoom. Like, I use LegalZoom for a lot of things and stuff, but I don't know know if a divorce is the right way to use legal Zoom. But anyway, he said, I'm going to give you the paperwork at the convention. And I asked him not to do that because, one, I'm going to be there with my mom. Two, I'm going to be working. Like, I'm there. I have a really busy schedule with all kinds of press, autograph signing, meet and greets, hosting the fashion shows, like just so many things. Plus, I'm filming the show. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? Come up on camera while I'm doing that? Like, thanks. No thanks, you know? And so I asked him not to do it. And I thought we were in agreement that he wasn't going to do it. But then here I am. I'm doing the autograph signing and meet and greet. And I've got this huge line. So tons of people in front of us. My mom is standing on the sidelines. Sherry from Pony Express is standing on the sidelines. And his sister comes up to my mom with an envelope and says, "You've been served," or something like that.
Why does actually going up to somebody and saying "you've been served" sound so corny to me, especially if you're not like a professional that does that for a living?
I mean, I don't know if you have to say that. And then, but you're serving my mom. She's not getting a divorce. Like, it's
right.
Not her.
Does that even count?
I don't know.
Isn't the whole point of having the papers handed in person, like, they have to find you and hand it to you?
I mean, I am sitting right there, but I don't even see, I did not even see this happen. Like, I didn't see her walk up. I didn't see her hand my mom the paperwork, nothing, because I'm like super busy. I try to, when I'm doing a meet and greet and stuff, I try to talk to everybody that comes up. I don't just like sign it and take a picture and like walk off, you know, like I engage everybody or I try to. And so I didn't even notice as this was happening. And then after it was done, I was like, I guess you've been served. And I'm like, wait, what?
Oh,
and it was legal Zoom divorce paperwork. And so that was like a big deal that happened. But it was the best thing that could have happened. I mean, still, I wish it didn't happen at that. But at least it got it over with. Or I should say it got the ball rolling and I was able to get it over with because it was something that was weighing really heavy on my mind because now Girls Next Door is popular.
Yeah.
And we're technically still married. So I don't know what that means as far as like how we divide this up, but I don't want him to have any part of Girls Next Door or where I'm going to go with this.
Yeah.
And, but likewise, I also didn't want to take anything from him. Like, we had built a house together. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to take any of the house. Like, you can have the whole house, which I think is pretty nice of me because I think I could have.
Oh, a lot of people would have not done that.
Yeah. And we don't have a prenup or anything. Yeah. So he has a family business. Like, I feel like I could have even been really bitchy about that, too. I don't know. I don't know how that works and stuff. But I just feel like when I got back, I told Mary what had happened. And Mary was like, "Oh, you can't fill out don't sign that paperwork. You need to talk to a real divorce attorney." Mm-hmm. They set me up. Hef and Mary set me up with like the best divorce attorney in LA.
Oh, wow. Damn.
I was like, holy shit. And she was like, "Oh, this is going to be really simple since you don't want anything." Mm-hmm. And so she set me up with this guy named Michael Browerman, and he did all the paperwork. He looked at the LegalZoom paperwork and he's like, "There is so many loopholes in this. Like, I'm so glad you didn't sign it."
Like, what were the loopholes? And do you think that he was doing those loopholes purposefully, or do you think he just didn't know?
I think he just didn't know. Yeah. And I don't know if there's different kinds of agreements you can get on LegalZoom or what or whatever, or if just our situation because of being on Girls Next Door now, there were loopholes in there because of who I am now. And I say that in quotes, you know, I don't know. He didn't like go over every loophole or anything like that, but he was just like so relieved that I didn't sign that.
Yeah.
And he's like, "We can do this really quick and easy." I said, "The only thing I want is like my personal belongings that I left there." Mm-hmm. Cause I had like my old Hope chest and like some clothes that I had from like when I was a baby and like scrapbooks and, yearbooks and things like personal things like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's all I want from this is just my personal things back. And he's like, "Well, it should be really easy." And it was like, there's some like court appearances, but you don't have to go to them. Mm-hmm. I was like nervous. I was going to have to like go to these like court appearances and like see him and like argue about stuff or whatever. But none of that. I guess if you're not contesting anything, you don't have to do anything like that, I guess. I don't know. This is my one and only divorce. So I didn't have to do anything. It's just I would get like these summons of going to court. And then he told me I didn't have to go. And then September of 2007, I remember I got a letter in the mail and it was final. And it felt like the biggest weight off my shoulders. Because even though it wasn't something that I was hiding, Hef knew, and I know the show knew because I talked about it openly. They just didn't want to put anything. Mm-hmm. You knew. Most people knew. It still felt like something that I was hiding from.
Well, I can imagine that it must feel like it would feel like something that other people could try and make a big deal. Like the mean girls are always trying to make it a thing, even though you weren't hiding it from anybody. Like, were you ever afraid that like a tabloid was going to write some story to try and make you look shady?
Yeah. And I was actually shocked that they didn't.
Yeah.
Because they literally tried to make Anastasia my sister. Like a tabloid literally went to Lodi and went to the hospital and got her birth certificate and then went out to my parents' house.
Because they were trying to say Anastasia was really your daughter.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, I guess she's not.
Yeah.
I would have been 12 when I had her.
That's insane.
I know.
That's so crazy.
So anyway, that was my saga. And that's something that happens here. But it was like just so much drama at the time. Like it's draining.
Totally.
And the bad, like the negativity coming from him so often. Like I really want, by this point, I really want it to be over with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not how I wanted it to go down, but it is how it went down. And I'm like looking back on it, so glad it did.
Yeah, 100%. I feel the stress because there's something about being at the mansion and just feeling like there's anything somebody could use against you, even if it's you not doing anything wrong. It's just such a, like I'm feeling that stress just talking about it.
Yeah. So September, it's final, but I still have to go back and get my stuff, which I'm like dreading doing. Mm. So like, I don't want to do it. And then I got booked on this is, you know, like 6, 7 months, 8 months down the line, because he keeps bugging me, like, when are you coming to get your stuff? And I think it was like, I don't even know what month it was, November, December or something like that. I got booked for a club appearance in Pleasanton, which he lived in the East Bay. So Pleasanton is very close, or maybe it was Concord. Anyway, somewhere around there, I got a club appearance right in his area. So I was like, maybe this is when I do it, because I had security with me and I had Joyce, the makeup artist, with me. So I checked, and one thing I requested, actually, I didn't even request it. The lawyer suggested it. He said, I'm going to put in the agreement that he cannot be home when you do it, which I felt kind of like an asshole about, but at the same time, I felt relieved.
Yeah, no.
But he could have somebody there watching me.
Oh, yeah.
But it wouldn't be him. So it was his dad, which I really liked his dad. I liked his whole family. Like, it's not like I didn't like his family. And his dad was always really, a really nice guy. And his dad just sat on the couch and was sort of quiet and didn't say a word and just kind of, you know, was there.
Yeah.
I guess so I don't take anything I'm not supposed to take, even though there was nothing really. But my parents came. My stepdad brought his like work truck so we could put anything that we needed in there. And it was Joyce and Joe Piastro. It's so weird.
Oh my God, that does seem like such a funny errand for those two.
From the mansion going with me to my old house with my ex-husband. Like, it's just
weird.
And Holly, everything was how I left it. My toothbrush was still sitting by the sink. My chapstick was sitting on my nightstand.
It's giving Bodhi ghost town. How like everybody left and there's still silverware. That's eerie.
Everything.
How long had you been gone for that?
6 years.
And your toothbrush is still there?
Everything. The bar of soap that I was using next to the bathtub, because he always took a shower. He didn't use the bathtub, took a shower. Like, everything.
That must have felt weird.
It was weird. It was weird.
Whoa. That's crazy.
I know. And I remember Joyce took, like, a whole bunch of pictures, because I decorated the house, like, super crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know how to describe how I decorated the house, but it was like fun and quirky, and like hand painted everything, checkerboards and polka dots and stripes. And like, we built that house together from like zero. Like, we were out there like putting stakes in the ground, like where the foundation was going to go and everything. Like, we tiled the floors, like we did everything.
That's so fun. That's like my dream, to build a house from scratch. Like, I wouldn't be the one physically doing it, but like from the planning phase up. Like, I think that would be so fun.
Girl, I learned how to use like a tile saw. And, like, I'm like out mixing grout.
Oh, no.
Putting in sod and sprinklers. And
you're like the people back in the day that ordered the houses from the catalog. I'm so fascinated with that era of history where you could order a house from Sears.
I wish it would have been that simple. Oh, anyway, so
back to the episode. They cut to a really cute interstitial animation of you because they showed we all three have a new one in this episode. They already showed mine earlier where I'm in the vanity with my dogs and you're in your room with a swing.
I love this one so much. And I wonder what made them do that, because I remember talking about how I wanted to put a swing in the room, but I wasn't allowed to because they have to drill into the ceiling.
Yeah.
I still thought it would be really cute, right? Yeah. I mean, it would have been cute. Something they could have kept around and everybody could have enjoyed for years to come.
He would have wanted a sex swing.
Ew.
I know, right?
Yeah, but I loved it. I love that one. That's my favorite one.
So you and your mom are on your way to the Playboy office.
Yeah, and it was so cool. Like, obviously, I had been to the Playboy offices before, but it was cool to show my mom. Mm-hmm. And it was a fun thing to do for the show. And it's always neat to kind of go there and, like, see everybody. And they treat you like family when you go there. I don't know. They might be saying bad things about you when you leave, like, oh, spoiled brat or whatever. But they treat you so nice when you're there. And I know, like, they gave my mom a set of the Playboy luggage and they showed us the calendar, which I hadn't seen yet.
Yeah, they had a whole mock-up of our upcoming calendar that we just shot.
Yeah.
And I think we had just shot it at that point when you go to see it.
Yeah, it was very, so it was like I was getting like the first glimpse of what it might look like. So that was really exciting. Yeah, I just remember it being really nice and really family-like. I brought our schedule. I know I kind of talked about it a little bit last time, but I told you the first day we left really early and we just did some sightseeing and stuff. But the next day I had to get up super early and do a ton of press. And then we went to the Playboy headquarters and then we stopped and got our deep dish pizza.
Yum.
And I saw somebody asking how I like Chicago style pizza. And I know I'm going to get hate for this. It's not my favorite.
I like the thin crust.
I like thin crust.
Yeah. So you guys run into Gary Cole.
Yes. And he asked my mom if she wants to, well, he's like, talking about how pretty she looks and stuff and that she should test. He's like, oh, do you want to test? And they put this graphic with my mom in it's actually my body, my mom's head. And my mom, I don't remember it. My mom doesn't remember it when the show aired. But when I was reviewing this, I took a screen grab of it and I sent it to her and she was like, oh my God, like she's freaking out.
That is so funny.
I totally don't remember it in the show.
That's funny. I know they're just being silly with it, but I'm also kind of gagged because they cut from you saying, I just want to share all my experiences with my mom. And then it shows you guys flanking Hef. And I'm like, I don't think she meant that.
I did get a little ick from that too. And I was like, let's just pretend that's not what they mean.
I know.
They just mean playmate. Or Playboy Bunny or whatever. Let's just pretend they mean that. But yeah.
And I'm so torn because on one hand, I'm like, oh, they're just being silly and goofy. But then I think about Meme Lady, that hater. And I'm like, well, maybe they were being gross. I don't know.
Ew. Ugh. Ew. There was nothing like that going on.
No way.
Nothing. So then we go to the Halloween convention. Yes. And like I said before, we had this rental car that we went out there with. And I'm only saying that again because it's going to come back as like a little thing later on. And yeah, they show me trying on the mask and we got fitted for custom fangs, which is always fun.
What is that thing you're playing with that looks like a giant operation game?
That's what it is. Oh, isn't it cool?
Cute. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's for like a haunted attraction, like somebody who has a haunted house or whatever. It's like an interactive thing that they can do. So, like, obviously there's a live person in it, but it's like a fake corpse and it's set up like the game operation and you have these giant tongs and you have to pull like nasty things out of his gut, like a rat or a, you know, I forget what all was in there. But like, if you touch the sides, it'll buzz and like zap you.
That's cute.
Yeah.
It's cute on the show. I like it.
There were so many cool things. So I'll talk about it a little bit later, but there was this coffin ride that I did and this elevator ride that I did. And there was this like suffocation chamber or like claustrophobia chamber. It's like where they do them look common now, but this was the first time I'd ever seen it where there's airbags, but they're so tight and you have to push your way through it. And it's all encompassing. So you feel like
claustrophobic when you go through it, which is my mom's big nightmare. So she was like, mm-mm.
Sounds like a liability. Did you see that video of the mermaid lady in Russia?
Yes.
And there's like some weird shark or something she's swimming with and it like bites her head.
Yes.
And she got out of there with minimal injury, which I'm shocked.
Well, was it a shark? Because they said
I don't know what it was. Yeah, but it looks like I'm trying to give you guys a visual. It looks shark. I don't think it does technically. Look, oh, it's not like a great white came and like snapped her head. But it's something.
It's a shark body shape.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
It's a big fish.
Like it's not something you'd want to be swimming in there with.
When I went diving in the aquarium in Atlanta, which was amazing, by the way, this was also from my Yahoo Animal Nation show mm-hmm. that I did. But a grouper, and I don't know if you guys know what a grouper looks like, but it's massive. It's like the size of like a little VW bug. It tried to bite my head. It was because my hair was like floating above and it came to like grab my hair. And they have divers down there that are like have these sticks that make push them to go the other way. But he came and tried to eat my head twice.
Whoa. Damn. Fish are more carnivorous than I thought. Yeah, I was concerned when I saw that video because as I've said before, like I really want Rainbow's first job to be a mermaid in the Silverton Aquarium. They don't have big, nasty fish like that would get you. They're all like small fish. But
yeah. But we do have some fun interviews for you guys.
Yeah, we talked to Sherry from Pony Express, the company that did the Playboy Halloween costume line. So we talk about how that got started and everything. And then we check in with your mom.
Yeah, fun.
And then we'll be back to recap the rest of the episode.
Sherry!
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good.
It's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you too. It has been too long. We used to see each other much more often, but you know, now that we are both out of the Halloween industry-ish.
Don't say that. I'm never out of the Halloween industry.
I know. I know. We're lifers for life, for sure. But yeah, and good to see you too, Holly. I know Bridget and I have kept in touch a little bit more, but it's really good to see you as well.
I'm interested in learning more about the whole Playboy Halloween costume thing because I never knew too much about it. I knew obviously we got to model for it and were asked for a little bit of input, but I'm excited to hear the whole backstory.
Yeah, and before we get into all of that, I just want to let the listeners know, too, that that's how we first met you, is Playboy was doing a costume line, and you came to the mansion to talk to us about it, and we were going to do all the modeling and everything, so we want to know, like, how that came to be. It was a company called Pony Express back then.
Correct, yes. It was Pony Express Creations. Mm-hmm. It was privately owned, and just it just blew up so quickly, kind of once we started garnering more licenses, and Playboy was obviously the one that everybody was, you know, that was the most sought after license for years. And I don't know, I wasn't involved. I came on after the license was already secured. So I don't know like what finally came to fruition that have said, yes, we're going to do a line. But like once everything started rolling, we started designing the costumes and then working with you guys. And I mean, it was like just everything went by, it came up so quickly and just ran so fast.
What quality were all the Pony Express costumes? Because I was really impressed with the quality of the Playboy costumes. Because back then, for those who don't remember, it was really popular to get those costumes in a bag from like Leg Avenue. And I used to buy those all the time too. They were super fun, but they were very inexpensive, very cheap. And then the Pony Express ones were much more high quality, or at least the Playboy ones were. And they came in like a nice hanging bag and things like that. Were all the Pony Express costumes like that?
Absolutely not. No.
Oh.
Like before Playboy, they were kind of like the fast fashion. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? They were just your standard Halloween costumes. And I have to give all the credit to Lisa Otten, who designed the costumes. And if you remember working with her.
Yes.
By far the most talented individual I've ever worked with. So it was her vision and her wanting to make these apparel quality. I think Hef had a part of that too, that he's like, I don't want these to like look cheap. I want these to look like actual fashion and have the attention to detail with, you know, the seams and the details and the fringe and the lace and everything like that. So that's why they were put into the garment bags. But I think Pony, when we did the Playboy costumes, we were one of the first to put costumes into kind of a garment bag like that and really merchandise it like it was high fashion as opposed to, you know, a 1999, you know, fast fashion costume that you're going to wear one year and rip and then you won't see it again.
Do you know how they came up with the ideas for the individual costumes? Because I feel like a lot of them were based off our actual personalities and things we had been in the recent past at the mansion at some of the parties.
It didn't start like that. But then once, like when we first shot the catalog, it was on just regular models. And I think what happened is Elisa and Ryan, the owner, came to the mansion and showed you guys. And you guys were like, we should be in these pictures. And then we were all kind of like, yeah, you've got this amazing platform. And, you know, you guys were much better at looking at some of the models, too. And it was just, it was kind of a no-brainer. So we reshot it. So originally, it was not, we didn't shoot with you guys. So once we shot with you, and I think some of the expanding of the lines and certain things like went with you, being a Bridget, you were like the schoolgirl costume, which was so you. And, you know, so everybody kind of, you know, had like their little niche with costumes. And then as the line developed, and a lot of ideas came from you guys when you guys would have like an episode, like, hey, we've got a Halloween episode. Can you make me something that's sort of Cupid related?
Yeah.
And then Holly, when you did the, when you guys did the episode, I think it was like seeing you were dressed as like Jackie O.
With yeah, like, the Jackie Ho costume.
Jackie Ho. With like the pink tweed.
Yeah.
And they were like sending that out for like you for you to wear. Cause that was your idea. Did you sketch that out, Holly? I think that
Yeah, well, I had that costume made at Trashy Lingerie. And then when we were contributing our ideas, I'm like, you have to make this one.
So things were just, I mean, we were so young, like the whole team at Pony then, and we were so scrappy. And we were just, we loved what we did so much. And we loved working with you guys because you guys were so creative. So it really was a kind of a cool dynamic to work together. And Bridget, I know you and I were always kind of bouncing ideas off of each other. And I think you also saw the opportunity, like I did, like, wait a minute, you guys have this platform. You're like the number one show on E! And the most, I think it was like the demographic from like 18 to 35, you know, appealing. So you guys are reaching our target market. So why not have you guys A, model for the costumes, and B, you know, wear them if there's a specific episode that, you know, warrants a cute costume to go with the theme.
Oh, every episode warranted a cute costume, in my opinion.
I know, right? I mean, and who doesn't love a theme? So. Mm-hmm.
And what about meeting Hef for the first time?
Well, I don't know if he did remember, because we were sending him things to approve. So the approval process was wild. So we go to like Playboy branding, Playboy licensing, to the LA office, and then to Hef. So like to get something approved, you know, he was the one who was signing off on things. So, I mean, I was always writing him notes, like, let me know what you think. So I think he had heard my name, you know, he did not, but like, I remember shaking his hand and he was so nice. And it was, I don't think you were there, Bridget. I think it was just you, Holly, and half in the kind of like the dining room off to the right.
So then we go, well, let's just tell everybody before we talk about going to it, there's this big convention. And if you watch the show before, you know kind of about it, but we need to tell you all about it. It was the Trans World Halloween convention. And every year it was in Chicago when it was good. And it was massive. And it had every element of Halloween that you could imagine, from the gigantic tens of thousand dollar like animated props to like the tiny little paper plates and products and stuff to everything in between. Every costume person was there selling their costumes. Every exhibitor that has anything to do with Halloween is there. And anybody that buys something for Halloween or has Halloween stores is there to see all the new stuff. And it is so incredible to go to. I used to love going to it even before we had the Halloween costume line going, but then being there and being part of it was amazing.
I forgot that you went before. You were in, I totally remember that now. Oh my God. Yeah. I completely spaced that you went to those shows. And when it was in Chicago, that was like a spectacle. I mean, it was insane. It's like you were like at a party for like 3 days, basically.
Totally. And I can't even express to people like how big this convention was. It was like huge convention hall after huge convention hall. Like it was the entire Chicago Convention Center, and it's massive. So anyway, that was always really fun. And then it changed after that. Like, I think like the next year or 2 years later, it moved to Vegas and it was still fun, but it was not the same. It didn't have the same vibe. It wasn't the same size. A lot of people didn't come. It just didn't have that same thing to it. And now it's like shattered off into all kinds of different conventions. And I honestly don't even know what's going on now.
It has changed so much. Like when we were doing it, that was like the height of the popularity of really kind of Halloween becoming an adult holiday. That's kind of what happened. It was always a kid's holiday. And then all of a sudden things kind of shifted and adults were like, wait, I want to look cute. I want to look sexy, or I want to look funny, or I want to look scary. So you had those kind of categories. So there was kind of something for everyone. So we were on the trajectory where things were going up. And that's when those trade shows were just like epic.
And not only are the trade shows epic themselves, but then at night there's these big events, like there's fashion shows for all the different lines. And then there's parties and costume contests and like all kinds of things like that. And you're with like everybody who loves all this stuff and who has the best of the best. And so it's just an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Bridget, you told me once you walked through like a haunted house at one of those conventions where it's like you went through like a creature's mouth and got pooped out its butt. Do you remember telling me that?
No, but I don't. I don't disbelieve it. Like, I feel like that's definitely something they would have had there.
Somebody does make one where you like walk through a vag, because at Pasquale's Halloween festivals, they have haunted houses. And one year we went in one, and it was the first one I ever went in where they make you like sign a waiver and they put you in a straitjacket and a mask and they spin you around and stuff. But part of the haunted house was you have to walk through a vag.
Oh my God. And also in this episode, you'll see I do this coffin ride where they put me in a casket and they close the door and there's a camera in there watching you. But what it's simulating on the inside, what you feel is you can feel your final ride, is what they were calling it, where you are lifted and walked and then lowered into the ground and you can hear the dirt being hitting the top of it and everything. And they're filming you from inside to see what your reaction is and stuff. And my mom is watching it and she's panicking, hates seeing all of it and stuff. But like, I'm loving the experience.
I totally forgot about that.
It's so morbid, but I love it.
Oh my God.
There was also another one that was kind of like a ride where you get in this elevator. And it's all simulated, but you feel like the elevator's dropping. It gives you that sensation that the elevator's dropping, but you're really going nowhere. You're just standing in this like box, but it looks like the elevator opens and you get in it and all the buttons start going crazy and it feels like you're falling. Well, they were so fun, the owners of Pony Express. And then I know they only did it for like a couple of years and then they like sold the company. What happened with that?
You know, I don't even know if I know all the details. I think kind of what happened with the Playboy line is it blew up so quickly and there wasn't the right people in place to kind of make sure that not only that the designs looked good, but everything operational was running on all cylinders too. And then the company was sold to Fun World out of New York, because we were in San Diego. And the whole idea, like when the Playboy costume started, was like high end, you know, fashion and just, you know, detailed and costumes that people would covet, because it was classy and it was such a unique line that the industry hadn't seen before. Like there was Leg Avenue, there was Trashy Lingerie. There were certain companies that kind of like hit upon it, but not at the level that Playboy did. And then unfortunately, when it was sold, you know, I think people just didn't understand the Playboy brand as it should have been understood and started making things like so much cheaper, not using the garment bags. It lost its luster, you know, after I think the company was sold, and then the license was sold again. And so you have it moving through all these, you know, different owners and it just changing in it.
Yeah. And I worked with Fun World too, and they were really nice and everything, but I do agree that the quality of the costumes definitely was way different than what it was with Pony Express. It wasn't the same anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they took as much of our input anymore either. It was kind of like a whole different thing. I mean, they were still willing to work with me and everything. And I still went and did like the meet and greets and the trade show and things like that. But it just wasn't the same type of thing, which is a bummer. I mean, at least we got to experience it amazing at first, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was something that was so special. And like I said, to have your input and have, and I think why it resonated so much, you know, with the female audience as well as the male audience is like, but for the girls, you know, that was like Sex in the City kind of time. And everybody was like, I'm a Miranda, I'm a Charlotte, you know, I'm a Carrie. And they did that with you guys. Like, I heard that a lot. Like, people identify with Holly or Bridge, you know what I mean? So it's like, so I think that was part of the cultural, the pop culture phenomenon is that people saw themselves in you and related to you. And I think that's why it made it so popular.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Is there anything else that you remember from that time that you want to add or that you just think is a fun story? Or
the photo shoots were probably my favorite. Like, that was probably one of my favorite aspects of it. It was, you know, coming up like with the different, you know, the hair and the makeup and the styling of it. And I remember, I think Holly, you did your own makeup and it was like perfection.
Thank you.
And always.
I mean, it really was. It was like, how are you doing your makeup like this good? I mean, it was like so good.
Thank you so much.
And it was just, you guys were just game for anything, and which was really cool because you don't always get that when you're working with models. People can be very particular, and you guys were just game.
Sherry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good to see you.
This was so much fun. I love chatting with you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back, Mom. You've been on our Patreon before. I think this is the first time on the main podcast.
Oh my God, yes. And I am nervous, so.
And when I say mom, I mean Judy, Bridget's mom.
Yeah, you can call me mom. That's fine.
Just for those listening.
Okay, so the reason we're having you on is because we were just reviewing it's called A Family Affair, right?
Or Family Affairs. Yeah.
And you are a big part of that episode. We go to Chicago to the Halloween convention and we wanted to know more about how you felt about all of that and filming and everything. I think it was after the first day there, we went with the owners of Pony Express and the PR girl, Sherry, and we all went to Japanese for dinner.
You know, you brought that up, but I don't really, when you bring it up and I remember now sitting there and just, and you mentioned the drinks that we had and everything, the wild time. It was, then I remember, oh yeah, that was kind of a wild evening.
Because they were so much fun. And they were like, it was mom's first time, I think, at a Japanese restaurant, possibly even, but definitely having sake. And they were like, oh, sake shot. Yeah. And like, all of a sudden they kept like ordering all this stuff. And poor mom's like, I don't even know what this is and what I'm doing.
You have someone else has to pour it for you. And it's like, oh, geez.
Sake etiquette. You can't pour your own. There's so much that they don't show on the show. I mean, obviously, they're just, you know, like we say on the regular show, too, like there's so much that happened that you don't see. But on this trip, there really was a ton of stuff that happened. Like, I had to get up so early. I know I have the itinerary somewhere, but I think I had to be doing press at like 5:30 in the morning, like the morning news stations like there. And that's why we had a limo, because they came and got us. They sent a hair and makeup person to the room at like 3:30 in the morning. And then we were like doing, I know there was Fox News on there, like all kinds of news things in the morning, radio shows, like all kinds of stuff that we had. And then we went over to the convention after that. So it was a lot. But the first day we were there, we didn't have those commitments. So we went and got blowouts.
Yes, I remember that.
But I mean, I was curious your thoughts on the convention, because it is so epic and it is so massive that I was just like, it's so interesting to see somebody who's going for their first time.
Yeah.
Like their thoughts.
Yeah, it's great. It was so much stuff and so many people, and then so many people that were dying to see you. I mean, there was a line. I was walking around with Lauren, you know, and just, yes, a lot of people. But then she says, you realize that these people that are standing here are standing to meet Bridget. And it was just like crazy, the fans. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're waiting to meet Bridget, to have her sign whatever they had in their hands. And it's unbelievable.
You know, what's interesting about this trip too, is that Hef did not send security with me, maybe because he knew I was going with my mom, but they had it arranged so that there were some like Chicago PD that went around with me, because otherwise we would not have been able to do the convention at all.
Yeah, you would have been bombarded.
So we have these epic 2 days at the convention. It's awesome. It's jam-packed with like the press and the fashion shows and the autograph signing and all the dinners and fun stuff that we went and did. And then we're packing up. We're getting ready to go. I think you can see that scene in the show, like us packing up and being like, this was so fun. This is so cool. We're heading back. And we had to get back that next day because the next day was a Sunday and it was Oscars. And Hef always has like a big party for the Oscars. And I'm expected to be there. And we wake up the next morning really early because we have to get to the airport. And it's just whiteout outside. It's full blown blizzard.
O'Hare
Airport is shut down. And I'm just like, oh my God. So I'm calling the mansion, but it's too early to talk to Hef. I'm calling like the airlines. I'm calling Lauren, the producer. Like, what do we do? I'm calling the front desk of the hotel. Like, I can't leave. They were literally, like, it was completely shut down, O'Hare. They were setting out cots for people to sleep on in the airport because no flights in or out. Like, it was crazy. When you looked out at, like, Lake Michigan, it was just white, blizzard, could barely see Navy Pier.
Whoa.
It was insane. We had to stay another night. And we were like, we kind of felt like kids that were sneaking out. And I remember we bundled up and we went walking around and there was like a store across the street that was called the White Hen. And that was kind of like a 7-Eleven type store. And we got a bottle of wine and then we went back to the hotel and we turned on the Oscars, like the red carpet stuff. And Lauren came to our room, the producer, and we ordered Chinese food and we opened the wine and we sat around in that hotel suite and just like watched the Oscars with Chinese food and wine.
It was great.
Fun.
It was actually really, really fun.
It was.
Sounds like it.
Perfect.
Then the next day we were able to leave. And here's the weird thing. And I think I know why, but it's so weird. They had a limo for me to take me to like all the different press events and stuff. And they wanted us to stay in Chicago proper to like film all these things of us walking around and seeing all the sights and the Playboy offices and the Playboy Mansion stuff. Like they really wanted to get that whole thing. But the convention is way out by the airport, which is not close to downtown Chicago. And so typically, if I were to just go to the convention, I would stay at a hotel probably out by the convention because there's literally one that you just walk under. I think, is it underground or just like on a tube across? And it's connected to the convention center. But because we're filming and we're doing all this other stuff, they wanted us to stay in Chicago proper. So we were staying at the W Hotel right there on like Lakeshore Drive. And so in order to get to the convention and back, I had to have a rental car. So I rented, and I think it was a van, a minivan, because I had to have like production come with us too in this van. But I was driving us back and forth to the convention each day.
In the snow.
Well, and to and from the airport. So the next day, it's like snowy out. And this girl from California has to drive us in this rented minivan to O'Hare Airport in the snow.
Oh, no.
Let's see.
I'm just like, what am I doing here?
You don't
know
Chicago.
It's so hard in a car you're not familiar with,
too. You don't know Chicago.
I don't know Chicago. I don't know how to drive in the snow. I don't know this car. And I like, here I am trying to get us to the airport.
It's like the Amazing Race.
Totally.
When they like give you like a stick shift car or something weird.
Which is so funny that you just brought that up because one of the things we remember doing in our hotel room before the Oscars came on was watching The Amazing Race. And the reason we were watching it is because Lauren used to be a producer on The Amazing Race.
Oh, funny.
So she was probably like, oh, this is nothing.
Yeah.
Are there any other thoughts or things you want to add to it?
No, just that it was quite the honor to be there. That, I mean, not just that night, but a lot of different times that we were produced and being there. Great times for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Enjoyed my sin.
Well, I think that's all I have. Holly, do you have any other thoughts or questions?
No, I just loved hearing from you. Thank you for doing this.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
We'll have to do another joint trip sometime where we all meet up. That was fun.
Yeah,
a real slumber party.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
Well, we have to pick another cool location somewhere.
Totally. Egypt.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Mom better get her passport in order for that one.
Inspire next year. I'll have to work on that. That'd be fun.
All right. Well, thanks, Mom. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Love you, girls. Okay.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We are back. It was so good hearing from Sherry and your mom.
Yes, I love Sherry. Sherry and I have like stayed in touch this whole time and we've done other events together and she's just so much fun.
So when you and your mom were delayed by a day, did that cause problems? Did you miss anything back home or?
Oh my gosh.
Was Hef mad?
When I say that we were kind of like, felt like we were kids sneaking out and stuff, I really, really felt like that because I was supposed to be home that Sunday, and not just because it's Sunday buffet dinner and a movie, but also it was the Oscars that night, and Hef does a party. It's not a huge party, but it's a pretty big party, and I was definitely expected to be home for that, and my flight was supposed to get in at noon, and then obviously I'm missing it altogether, and so I knew I wasn't in trouble because he knew about it and there's nothing I can do about the weather and stuff, but I almost felt like that. Like I felt like, oh crap, now I missed an event that he was very adamant that I needed to be home in time for. And I just felt like it's one of those things where I might not be in trouble for this, but he's definitely going to like think about that the next time he's going to let me go somewhere.
Yeah, you know? I hate that feeling. Oh no.
And so we definitely were kind of kids sneaking out.
Yeah.
And it definitely had that feeling. And like, I might get in trouble for this.
Yeah. Oh, I know that feeling. I hate it.
But at the same time, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Like sneaking out is. Like, you know, totally. It's like the best time ever.
It really is.
Until you're caught.
Yeah. So after we see you go to the Halloween convention, they cut back to Kendra and her family at the house. The only thing I have to say about that is if that were a rental, the person who left it before would not get their cleaning deposit back. Kendra even finds like a pot in the cupboard, like they fully left stuff there. And then in my notes, I said, then we're back at the mansion and they are cutting back and forth furiously. Like this episode is very fast paced with the cutting back and forth.
You're right.
The three of our scenes.
You're right.
Hef and I are still going through Patrice's photos, and I have one of the Playboy special editions sitting there. I ask him about a redhead who's there, ask him if she should test. She did test. She didn't get it. And he said she looked like a nice change of pace and that we need to find a little more variety, which that was one thing. I probably said this before, but that was one thing that surprised me about Hef is he was so open to finding more variety because Playboy for so many years had been all about just blondes. So many blondes
yeah.
for so long and just no diversity. But he was very open to finding new looks and new types of people to an extent. I would say the beauty standard was still extremely narrow when it came to like body size and what somebody's face looked like. But as far as finding, you know, different races and different hair colors, he was open to that, which was nice.
Also in this scene, you guys talk about, or at least they have you talking about what a good team you guys make. And I feel like it really shows in this scene.
Oh, I think when it came to work, we were 100% a great team.
Yeah.
Personal life, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But for work, absolutely.
Yeah. Then they quick cut back to Kendra in the condo again.
Mm-hmm.
This is that nasty clump of hair her grandpa brings back. And I just can't, it sends my gag reflex going.
I know. There's this scene where Kendra's grandpa comes downstairs and he has this giant wad of like gross hair that he like dug out of the drain. And that's what, I mean, I'm sure it's like this for most people, but that's one of the things that just like grosses me out so much in life is like stray hairs and like wadded up gross hair. And when I was watching this episode and making my notes on it, I had just ordered a pizza from Postmates, and there was a dead spider like baked into the top of it.
Stop it right
yes.
now.
So I was already like gagging and grossed and ready to throw up. And then that scene came on, and I was just like, bleh, bleh.
Wait, what did you do?
Anytime it's pretty easy with Postmates. If you get like a wrong order, they'll refund you.
Okay, but it's not wrong. It's just gross.
Yeah, I sent a picture. I was like, there's a spider baked into this.
Oh my God.
So gross. At least it was baked in on the top, so I had a chance to see it. Can you imagine biting into something and you're like, oh, what's that texture? And you look.
Yeah, like what if it was in the cheese and stuff? Ooh. Like, and you didn't even know.
Honestly, my gag reflex just went because I was thinking, like, what if you bit into like half?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Nasty. But before we cut into that, they show Kendra's like interstitial animation, which is her in her bedroom in her dominatrix outfit. Another theme I noticed in this episode, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but besides, you know, family affairs, I feel like you're really getting a sense of like who we make a good team with and who like teamwork, like you and your mom are getting it done in Chicago and Kendra and her family are getting the house cleaned up and me and Hef are getting this work done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it's very like team building.
Yeah, I could see that. Next scene is me back at the Halloween convention and I'm wearing this very sexy lace style dress. And I just want to say the only reason I'm wearing that is because I just hosted an event on the stage. Yeah. I wasn't like walking around the convention like that typically, but I had nowhere to go change. And I'm making a list of all the things I want because you guys, seriously, I go crazy in there. Like I want everything.
So I'm wondering as I'm watching this, how did you get all this stuff home?
I know, right? So that's what we were wondering too, because they usually don't sell things. Like you buy stuff and you get it later.
Okay.
But the show really wanted me to like have that like hands full of stuff and everything. So they actually did sell me some stuff on the last day. But the trick was, how am I going to get it home? And I put as much in it as we possibly could. My mom got, we were stuffing it on both of our bags. And then what I couldn't take, Playboy offices let me take it over there and they sent it like, did like a courier shipment or whatever.
Oh, that's
like
nice.
Zach.
Because you're walking out with this whole like fence with souls on it. I'm like, where are you putting that?
And I remember it took them forever to send it. Like, I don't know if they have to wait for like a certain amount of stuff to send or what, but I was like dying for all this stuff because I'm Halloween year round. So yeah, like I want to
put it into effect.
Yeah. And I already told you we got snowed in. We missed the Oscars, but we just had so much fun getting wine and Chinese food. And the producer came to our room and I had like a little suite. So it had like a little tiny living room area. So we just got cozy and it's snowing outside and something I don't get to experience like ever. So it was so amazing.
And there's a cute sentimental wrap-up scene with you and your mom.
Yeah, that was a very staged thing. Like,
it's staged, but I felt like the emotion was there. And don't you say something like, I don't get to spend as much time with my family as I want. Like, that kind of hit home for me watching it. Like, I felt like that was real.
Yeah, they wanted us. I mean, they didn't tell us what to say, but they were like, can you guys, you know, be packing and like talk about what this trip meant and how much you like spending time together and like that kind of stuff. Like, they give you kind of like, they want you to do like a wrap up, basically, like what this meant and stuff. So yeah, I thought it was really cute. And
then there's a cute wrap up with Kendra and her family where she praises her grandpa. And then we cut back to nighttime at the mansion. And we are going into a very staged shot of me and Hef getting ready for bed.
It looks like
I still have my makeup and jewelry on. And I'm cringing watching this because I hate setup bedroom nighttime scenes. They bother me so bad. They felt invasive then. They feel invasive watching it back. They make me want to gag. And we're howling in commentary over this being a staged scene and saying the fans were giving us so much shit for it being staged and it being so obvious.
Yeah.
And usually you can tell in these scenes, I didn't notice in this one, but usually you can look at like Hef's digital clock on the headboard and it'll be a dead giveaway that it's not really the time they want it to be. And then Hef and I are getting ready to watch a movie. I ask for Gentlemen Prefer Blondes because we have to choose something for the Fox archive in order for Kevin to be able to show it on screen.
Yeah.
And then perfectly timed, Kendra comes in. And then perfectly timed, you come in, and the entrances are so perfectly spaced. It just screams staged.
Yeah.
And you're giving us like little body parts from the Halloween convention. You give me a brain, something I'm sorely in need of. And then they show us kind of like
just getting cozy in bed, like this is what we do every night.
And yeah, finishing up the movie. And that, like, sometimes we'd get together and watch like a rough cut of the show or something. And sometimes Kendra would watch like Sopranos with us once a week. But even then, I feel like, I don't remember what anybody's wearing in this scene. You're probably wearing normal clothes in this scene. But it would be like you guys would be in normal clothes. And like maybe we'd order food or something. It wouldn't be like, I don't know if this, I don't think this scene has pajamas, but there will be other scenes in this series where it shows us all in our pajamas, all getting in bed together. And that never happened. And it just grosses me out when they try and pull that. So
yeah,
I don't like it.
Well, in commentary, Kendra's talking about how staged this final scene was and that she's so pissed that they're having us do all this acting and they still won't give us credits.
So true.
Which I think is like, yes, 100%. Yeah. But then in this commentary, Kevin confirms from outside the booth that in season 4, episode 1, we will have credits.
Finally.
So we'll see, though. Do we? I don't even know.
I don't know. It took 4 seasons.
Yeah.
And then they cut to Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell singing the lyrics, as long as the guy's a millionaire.
I know. So annoying.
I know. So do you have a best and worst for this
episode? I did them. My worst, I really didn't have a worst. Maybe just that final scene.
Yeah.
Being so staged and everything. And I kind of mentioned before that I felt bad for Kendra's family, like doing all this work. And I feel like she put in minimal effort and that I don't makes me like feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. But it's not really anything bad about the show. It's just sort of kind of my cringe feeling that I get.
My best and worst. Best is overall, I actually really like this episode. I feel like out of all the episodes we've seen so far, this is the most realistic one. Maybe not the back end scene, but most of it, because that's how our day-to-day typical days were at the mansion. Like you, me, and Kendra would all kind of go our separate ways and do our own thing during the day. And then you'd get back by curfew. Everybody would kind of check in if we didn't have an event and then go our separate ways again. But I feel like everything feels very real and authentic to what we would do. Like it shows me at my job, you with your mom doing what you love to do, Kendra with her family. Nothing in the main scenes of the episode seems fake or forced or anything like that. And I always enjoyed being able to watch you and Kendra do things that I wasn't there for, because you'd always hear about, oh, I'm doing this here and I'm doing this there. So it's kind of fun to see it when you're not there. So I really like this episode. And I think so far, this gets my stamp of approval as being the most realistic episode. Like if you're ever truly interested in what was a typical day in your lives like, I think this was kind of it. I mean, I know not everything in it is true. Like you weren't in Chicago and she wasn't in San Diego while I was editing those photos. Like that's kind of fake. But as far as doing what we're doing, it was very real.
Yeah. I think that my only difference on that is that for the most part, though, I was in LA and not with my mom.
Yeah, that's
so
true. Getting to travel was like a special.
Yeah.
But it's very authentic to who you are and, you know.
Definitely that.
The worst is just the bedroom scene at the end.
Yeah.
And the fact that you guys all come in at the end of the day and are checking in, that part was very real.
Yes.
But then everybody would have said goodnight and left. The fact that they make everybody pile into bed, perhaps implying we're all gonna fuck. I don't know if they're really going for that, but it's gross if they are. Or even implying that we're all gonna cuddle and fall asleep together. Like that fucking gags me out too, because that never fucking happened.
Right.
There were no group sex going on at this point. It's just not true. And for me, as far as like having any modicum of like privacy or personal space, it felt invasive when Kevin wanted to do those scenes. It feels invasive to me even to watch it now. Like, I don't like it. I feel like I just hate it.
I think what he was going for was, again, family. Like, that was Bridget with her family. That was Kendra with her family. This is what it looks like when Holly and Hef are just family with whoever is at the mansion. But now this is back to our original family is back together again.
But doesn't that make you gag and, like, think of incest? Like, if that's family? Ugh.
Like, I mean, have like a visceral reaction to it. Like, I hate it.
But I feel like that was his whole thing with this whole show, is that we were this like different type of family, but we were a family.
Yeah. But if we're family, we shouldn't all be in bed together. And I'm still grossed out about it.
Yes. My best was just seeing the convention back then, because it was such an amazing convention. I can't express to you guys how much fun. I mean, everybody used to love it that went, and it was incredible. And it's just never really been the same.
Yeah, it's nice to have that kind of stuff documented.
Yeah.
So that's it. I'm excited. I'm off to Disney World this week.
You are?
Yeah, my annual trip. My friend Josh always performs there every year. So
that's amazing.
I'm excited. So if you guys want more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we will see you guys next week. We're going to talk about Hef's birthday in Vegas, home sweet, sweet.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.